Yeah, even if you clean installs, it's just like, yeah, I'm solving the world's problems meditative one poop at a time, you know? Like. Welcome to another episode of You Are Now Being Judged at Your Request. I'm Michelle. I am the e-commerce and marketing manager, and this is my sidekick, Allie.
Hey guys, we're really ready to give you some harsh judgments today.
I've not heard any of this before, so
yes,
let's just see what happens.
Brand new drama, our favorite kind. So we came up with a fun little game that we're going to add this week where we will be making up names for all of these people, and they might be a little unhinged, so sweet. I think that's going to add something
I
to
love
the
unhinged
story
stuff. I mean, horse people are just unhinged, period. I mean,
absolutely. So let's go ahead and get a fake name for our first person. Mm. They're dealing with some relationship drama, so if you have any names that inspire that vibe.
Bucket. Like, with another one of my favorite words. Yeah. So yeah.
Yep, that's how I feel about dating a lot of the time, so it works for me.
That's awesome.
All right, so bucket needs some advice on a very delicate situation. So bucket moved to their forever home on a small farm about 10 years ago. She loves it there, and it's the perfect place to be an adult amateur writer because they have access to shows, trainers, vets, all the good stuff.
Nice.
That's pretty hard to find,
like,
right?
Yeah, right? Like, okay, so what's the problem?
Yeah, well, the problem is not with Bucket. The problem is with Bucket's husband, of course.
Boys.
Can't live with him, can't
men just don't get it. They just don't understand the horse scene.
They really don't. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit last time. It's just like, they get scared easily by the horse life, it seems.
I think so. I mean, they have expensive hobbies too, but I don't think I think that since our hobby includes like an actual living being that has a personality and requires care, unlike a car, I think it just I don't know, it just rings different, I guess, for dudes.
That's true, because they can pick up and leave their golf game. You gotta be there with your horse all the time.
Throw in a shoe, gotta make that phone call, gotta be there to hold the farrier.
Absolutely.
Hold for the farrier. So yeah.
It's a lot more responsibility.
Anyway, sorry. I digress. Rabbit
no,
hole.
They deserve it. So Bucket married this man, her husband. He wasn't really an outdoor person, but he knew that horses were an important part of her life. He said he was fine with it. And even agreed to living on the farm with her.
Nice.
So off to a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he doesn't necessarily have to be taking care of the horses or whatever.
As long as he understands and he's good with it, then I don't see a problem.
Right. But a few months ago, he sort of started changing his attitude. And keep in mind, they've been together for years. But what's changed is that they've recently had a baby together.
Red flag. This is going to be my red flag, folks. He started changing. Uh-oh.
Yes, not good. Even worse, that it's something that should be so exciting. They're welcoming their first daughter, and all of a sudden, he starts up this big argument where he hates living at the farm all of a sudden. He doesn't like the farm. He doesn't like the work, even though Bucket says she does everything around the farm. And he wants to move closer to his family, which would be like an hour away from where they live now. There's no good barns. So Bucket feels like, you know, if they do move, they might be closer to his family, but she'll still have to drive an hour to take care of her horses and do all of her chores, which just seems not reasonable.
Yeah, no, it doesn't, but
His argument is really just he keeps putting it all on his family. He says, I want to be closer to them. You know, now that we have a kid, we need more people to help us take care of the kid. But Bucket says, you know, I've never told him we can't see them, and we go see them usually twice a week. And they're always welcome to come here, they just don't make the effort. So Bucket really just doesn't know what to do in this situation. She says they've never had a big fight like this before, but obviously her horses are a big priority too, so she really doesn't know what to do in this situation.
I have so many questions.
Yeah, right?
You know, like, I mean, how old are his parents? Like, are they, you know, I mean, are they aged? Like, should they not be driving at night? Is it difficult for them to come see the child? Not that it should make a difference, but I mean, these are things that are probably should have been discussed before we decided to have a child. like how this was going to play out. Maybe it wasn't. It's just not, you know, it's just not listed in the information. So that would be, I guess, my one consideration. Mm-hmm. And then I guess my second question would be, do you work full time? Does he work full time? Do you both work full time? You know, what is the child care situation like at home if you are both working full time? If you are a stay-at-home mom, then I am very much like, what's the problem? Right. You know, if you're already doing all the things plus taking care of your horses and it's not interfering, where is this coming from? You know, kids change everything. They change everything. They change every dynamic of all your relationships because that is now your main focal point. You know, they change your relationship with your horses, with, you know, your horse friends who don't have kids. Like, it just definitely. It just changes everything. And so, and it's a big life change for you and your partner. He sounds a little, I don't know if scared is the right word.
I was gonna say, I think he's just freaking out.
Yeah, well, I guess another question that I might have too is, like, how involved are you with the daily care? Like, do you treat them like show horses? Or are they in and out? Are they blanket changes every 12 hours? Are they body clipped? Or, you know, do they need, you know, do you have them in training programs or a trainer? I mean, like, that's gonna make a huge difference because, mm-hmm. I mean, if they're at home, but you ride them and compete them and whatever, but you kind of have a an organic sort of approach to horse care where they live out quite a bit and, you know, you feed them on the fence or whatever, like me. you know, I mean, they're just happier outside. And so, and plus it makes it easier for me if I need to go out of town with one of them to a horse show or something, or my husband can just dump food over the fence and not have to, you know.
You work here. You can't be with your horses all the time.
Seriously. Like, if I could work from home, even when I did work from home, it was still like, they were right out the window and I'd be like, what's he doing? Who's whinnying and what's that about?
Oh,
and
that would be so distracting.
Oh, so distracting. So distracting.
Yeah, that's a good point though. Honestly, if they are in a point where they could hire someone else or ask a friend to help them take care of the horses, I think that would probably be the easiest thing to fix in this situation.
And I also feel like they're not communicating. There's like a conversation or an elephant in the room that is in the form of a small child that needs to be addressed, and nobody wants to directly address it. And I feel like you guys don't need to have an argument. You just need to sit down and talk about what each other's expectations are now that, you know, we have a biped on the ground and, you know, a tricycle motor, and, you know, what are each other's expectations? Does he expect you to take, you know, be a permanent stay-at-home mom and mm-hmm. take complete care of this kid? And did he think you were just going to never ride again? I mean, like, an olive branch needs to be tossed, and I think a line of communication needs, a friendly line of communication needs to be opened where mm-hmm. nobody's on the defensive, and, you know, let's just have a chat. And if that means you need a therapist to just play, you know, mediator, then or a very close friend who can, you know, just sit down and listen to both of you at the same time and let, you know, that will, I think, enable both of you to be on your best behavior and not get emotionally invested in the conversation.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because obviously if they were in a place where they had to take this situation to random strangers on the internet, we're not communicating amongst ourselves.
You need to open that line of communication and start discussing, you know, what are our long-term goals for the next 10 years?
Right.
You know, I mean, clearly you're not going to give up riding or horses or horse showing or whatever. And that I feel like he probably does understand, mm-hmm. but perhaps there needs to be some boundaries set, like, you know, okay, I need to, you know, for my own mental health, I need to commit to riding 2 or 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. I need to commit to 3 lessons a month. I need to commit to doing 1 horse show a year or 1 horse show a month through the season, you know, or 2 horse shows a month, you know, and hammer that out, you know, out like, okay, who's going to take care of the child when you're at the show? You know, what's that scenario going to look like? And I feel like maybe he would be more comfortable if things just weren't so up in the air.
That makes a lot of sense, because it's going to be important for her to, like, keep her sense of who she is.
For real.
Stay in her routine with riding.
I wouldn't expect her to just give up being an equestrian just because she now has a child. Yeah. I mean, that's just not how it works. And it's very unrealistic. And the people that I've known that have tried to do that have become very unhappy in their relationships because they feel like they're being taken advantage of. And that's just not a healthy place to be. No. I mean, it's just not. I mean, you have to have self-care, and I think for a lot of us, horses are that self-care, you know, that's that quiet time where our brains can reset and just kind of like hang out. Even if your horse is a jerk that day, I mean, it's still like your brain just resets.
You're outside, you're with another animal. It's very calming.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Even from cleaning stalls, it's just like, yeah, I'm solving the world's problems one poop at a time. You know, like, I have a lot of questions, and I'm gonna pass on judgment here because, yeah, I feel like there's communication that needs to be had, and that there are just too many unknown variables, yeah, to be able to pass any kind of like judgment.
Yeah, I just, like, feel bad for everyone in this situation, yeah, honestly. I would say talk to your husband, then, like Michelle said, talk to an unbiased third party if that conversation doesn't go well. I think part of the reason we don't have a lot of details is because they don't have a lot of details. No one knows what's happening.
Because nobody wants to talk. Yeah, yeah, nobody wants to talk about it because nobody wants to hear something that they don't want to hear. So, right, and that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
So I guess our advice is come back to us with more information if you, yes, really want that judgment, or, you know, submit another anonymous follow-up update, or maybe open up that line of communication and then send us a follow-up, and we take this out a little further to everybody and see what the masses think.
Yeah. Bucket, we want to fill you up with good advice. We just need
apples
more
and carrots.
Information.
Yes. We want to fill that bucket up with apples and carrots. So.
Absolutely. All right. Well, no judgment on that one. We're just going to be nice to Bucket. We'll move on to our second question, I think will be a little bit easier for you to decide if this person, uh-oh, is a jerk. So can we get a fake name for this person?
Let's go with Hoofpick.
Hoofpick. All right. So Hoofpick wants to know if they are responsible for their horse causing injury or damages at the stable that they board at. So this should be a fun one. Hoofpick boards their horse at an equestrian facility where they pay his full board and care. He's a wonderful horse who Hoofpick bought as a project with hopes of bringing him along as their primary horse. So that means he's got some history to him, and Hoofpick says they're not really sure what the vibe of the previous owners was, how the horse was treated at that time, but he can be a little skittish around new people, which I think makes sense. We see that a lot, yeah, with horses that come from somewhere we
weird
don't know
situations
about.
And yeah, it's just baggage. I mean, you don't know what you don't know, so you just gotta,
yeah,
go with it.
You've got one of those who's a little skittish
from her dubious
past.
Yeah, she's just always on. There's no off button. Yeah. She's convinced that they're, you know, she's just, I don't know, she's like a security guard. She just never turns off. She's just
guard horse.
Yeah, that's she really is. She's the first one to know when something's like something random's coming through, or, you know, I get that.
Yeah. That's why she's called Secret, because she knows.
She's full of secrets. She is full of secrets. And I love her dearly, but she is aptly named, and she came with that name, so.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I tried to change it.
It just fits too well.
It just sticks. I mean, it's just who she is, and she's a good girl. Anyway, moving on.
Yes, so Hoofpick says whenever they move their horse somewhere new, you know, they let all the staff know, hey, my horse is super sweet, but he's skittish, and particularly he is a biter and may kick you if he doesn't like your vibe.
Oh.
So I think that might be just a step above skittish.
Yeah, this is starting to sound like more of a manners and training issue.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, again, you know, if you don't know the history, if it's always lived out and it was never handled and you've just, you know, purchased a feral four-year-old, then
right,
these things need to be expected. So.
Yeah, and this person didn't say how long they've had this horse, so he could still be very green, very at the beginning of his training with someone who actually knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that's giving them the best.
We'll give them that. Yeah, we'll give them that.
But I do still think it's a tough situation to bring a horse that doesn't play well with others like that to a big equestrian facility,
because, yeah,
there's going to be a lot of people in
kids and
out,
and people and staff, and
yeah,
it could just, it's definitely something you as a prospective boarder want to discuss with the barn manager and be like, mm-hmm, hey, this is my horse, he's a little this, he's a little that, and not just be like, catfish, hey, P.S.,
right,
now that I'm
right
here, my horse is kind of a jerk when other people are around, so be real careful.
Yeah, that's a great point. I hope they brought that,
yeah,
up before they moved,
yeah,
their horse in and,
yeah,
were like, by the way, he will bite you.
Right? He's got to have his door closed, he needs a muzzle, like,
yeah,
that could be, especially like a big lesson type barn where there are kids, mm-hmm, that's a huge liability that, you
it
know,
is.
Barn management needs to be aware of when they're bringing them in and out during prime lesson periods, mm-hmm, or feeding time, or
Or if other people are helping take care of the horse.
Right, they need to be aware.
That's going to be a hard situation. So. But they said the last time they moved their horse to a facility a couple of months ago, it was smooth sailing. They sorted everything out with the barn manager. But yesterday, they got a call that said one of the newer people this barn manager hired in at this barn to help out got in the horse's face in a way he didn't like, and he bit her. So the girl was pretty upset. She claims that the bite is so bad she's going to have to go get stitches and doesn't have insurance. So the hoofpick wants to know, you know, is that really my fault? Like, am I liable for my horse biting this girl?
That
everyone knew.
What I call workers' compensation. If she was employed by the barn, then it is the barn manager's responsibility to hire appropriate staff and make sure the staff is appropriately trained to know how to handle horses. You know, obviously there's questions here, like, you know, what exactly was the situation? How exactly did this happen?
Right.
Did he corner her in a stall and go after her? Or was she just trying to put his halter on and he just decided to be a jerk and reach out and bite her? You know, maybe he was late cut, you know, who knows? He could, maybe he's a stallion. I don't think we have that information. So, and stallions just nip. It's just who they are. It's manageable. I would say it's probably not something that would ever go away in a stallion. I think that, you know, it may not be like aggressive, but I think that the habit to knit, it's kind of like a warm blood, they shove. I almost think it's just in their brains. Like, I mean, I've never been near a warm blood that does not push like and shove like with their head. I mean, it's just, it's really annoying.
They're animals. Yeah, they have their little animal instincts.
That's just what, I don't know what to tell you. My thoroughbreds don't do that. The warm blood, he's a pusher, and it's something that I've worked with on him since he was a foal, and it's just something that he does, and he knows he shouldn't, because when he does it, he pulls back because he knows that he's in trouble. So,
but he still wants to do it.
Right. It's like it's almost like he can't help it. So, you know, I have to just kind of somewhat work around it. You know, if he's really aggressive, he doesn't get popped. If he's not, you know, if he's just looking for a treat or something, you know, I'll just push him away. But if he gives me a good hard shove, he knows he's going to get popped for it. So, but anyway, moving on. Horse training by Michelle.
Have you ever had a biter? Like, what do you usually do to try to get them away from that habit?
It kind of depends on the age. I mean, like, you know, some of you may know I've bred most of my own horses, and when they're really young and they're nippy, I mean, you just kind of give them a little flick and, you know, like, no, we don't do that, because, I mean, they're trying to communicate with you as they would with another foal. You know, they're young. They don't understand that that's not a thing. And so, like, the discipline has to be appropriate for the age and the action. So, you know, with the babies, you just want to give them a little flick in the muzzle. Like, no, that's wrong. And if you want to handle it the same way a mare would. Like, a mare's not going to haul off and kick the snot out of her kid, you know, for biting on her. She's going to take a hawk and she's going to give him a hard shove. Like, dude, I said stop. You know, the action has to be, you know, equal to the offense. I don't know. I'm not saying that right, but
no, that makes sense.
Plus, like, if he's not, like, if he's just trying to play and he's not trying to actually sink his teeth into your flesh, that's kind of a, you know, the difference. Or if we're nipping for a cookie, it's, you know, it's different than a horse who's actually physically trying to bite you because they're either angry or unhappy. Honestly, this horse sounds like maybe he's got a mixture of both going on. Like, like, maybe he needs a little more training. Could use or maybe consistency. I mean, because consistency is key when, you know, you're raising a young horse. To, you know, you have to be consistent every time if you want them to learn that this is the wrong action. Then it has to, you know, you can't just ignore it some days and then other days get all upset about it. It has to be very, very consistent. So,
which again would be hard in this kind of environment where there's a lot of people coming and going and taking care of the
horse. She was brought here, the horse was brought to this barn as like a training barn, you know, to be trained.
True.
So, I mean, in which case that I again feel like the barn manager should be hiring people who can back up her training methods so
and
that the consistency
is
there.
There's every chance that this person just didn't take it seriously. They were like, I know how to handle a biter.
I'm a horse person. Egos are abound in the horse industry. I mean, that is a fact. And like, you know, oh, this horse is just misunderstood, walk all up in there and then walk out with a bloody arm.
Yeah.
I mean, like, well, you know, no, we tried to tell you this horse is different. He's, you know, he's got some history. He doesn't trust people, and his first, you know, automatic instinct is to try to bite until he feels like he's safe. And maybe a big barn isn't the place for this guy.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of what I feel like. He might do better at a barn with like a smaller program. Mm-hmm. Again, that's like what I said, he was brought here for training, but you are like 100%. I appreciate the fact that they told you that's workers' compensation. You hired this individual. You deemed them qualified to handle my horse, and I've given you all of the facts, and yet this person still managed to get bit. That means that this person was not appropriate for the job, in my opinion.
So. And especially since it was the first time that happened at this facility.
Does it say how long he'd been there before it happened?
Just a few months. But
so it wasn't like the first week.
No.
Yeah. So it was just a new hire. And
yeah. Horse didn't like that person's vibe for whatever reason.
Yeah, I feel like there's more to that story. But, you know, with what we know, I would say that, no, you are not responsible. This is 100% workers' compensation, I'm pretty sure, in any one of the contiguous United States. And, you know, if she tries to come at you, I don't really feel like that it would stand up.
No.
So it might not be good for your future boarding relationship there.
Yeah, that could be tough, but...
But I also feel like...
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. I mean, this is her employee, and no. So we're going to go, no, not your fault.
We're judging the barn on this one.
Yes.
We have our eyes on you.
That's right. Eyes on you.
Okay. One final story today... Another one about kids and horses.
Oh, fun times.
Always a good time.
Right?
So, can we get a fake name for the mom in this story?
Let's go with Pitchfork.
Pitchfork. Lovely. So, Pitchfork has a daughter who's 11. She's been obsessed with the idea of riding horses the whole year, so Pitchfork paid for... kind of an introductory riding lesson with a family friend, just something to see, like, hey, is this a real interest, or is this just something
fleeting.
Cool you saw on TV? Yeah, which I think is valid, because a lot of us are horse girl movies, and then not actual horse girls.
Right, yeah, we take a few lessons, and you're like, man, this is really hard.
Yeah.
Or it's very time consuming, because it is. So,
yeah,
you know,
I have to be out getting sweaty.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's not
some
the
girls
vibe.
Are into that, yeah.
But I think it went well for Pitchfork's daughter. She loved it, so they signed her up to continue lessons. And after about a year, she progressed beyond the level that her original teacher felt comfortable instructing her, so she switched to another younger girl who works at the same barn, but was more into, like, competing, so she was able to teach at a higher level. So the daughter is the oldest child, and mom says she's been a little clingy around girls who she gets along with that are a little bit like an older sister to her. So she's very attached to this girl, Jenna, who teaches the lessons. So Jenna was a great teacher, but she had a fair amount of days where she and the daughter would focus on doing stuff around the barn that wasn't necessarily riding, like cleaning the horses, cleaning the stalls. And mom says she's not a horse person, but the daughter says, no, all this stuff is important to, like, bonding with the horses and being a
not
part
wrong.
Of the barn.
Not wrong. But are we doing this instead of lessons, or?
Yeah.
Oh, so basically you're being
paid
to clean
go do
stalls.
Chores. Yes.
There are dismounted lessons,
yeah.
Like you learn to clean tack, you learn to tack up a horse, you learn to care for the horse. Those are usually saved for rainy days where you don't have, like, you know, those are very important lessons. I think another one we did was bandaging, learning how to bandage a horse, how to roll your bandages.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these things are very important if the child or rider has expressed a serious interest in continuing on and learning actual horsemanship, like how to care for your horse on your own. So...
Yeah,
kind of sounding like it went down maybe a little bit of a rabbit hole.
Yes, yes. And I think that part of the problem here is, you know, this is a younger girl, so maybe she's not very used to being a teacher. That's kind of a tough situation to be in, but it's a small family farm, so.
Where's mom, or where's the barn manager who's kind of
right.
organizing lessons and you know.
One of these lessons that didn't involve much riding did kind of turn out to be a problem for the daughter. So Jenna took the daughter out to the pasture to meet a new horse that she had just gotten. Mom Pitchfork was waiting in the car like she usually does for the daughter to finish her lessons, and then noticed that her daughter came back a little early. And when she got in the car, she was really upset. And so the mom asked, oh, you know, what happened? Like, did lessons not go well today? And at first, she just said, well, I don't want to ride anymore.
Oh.
Mom says, okay, I'm not super surprised because she's quit some of her other extracurricular activities. Like, that's pretty typical for a kid to have.
It's the age bracket where you're trying, yeah, you're just trying a little bit of everything to figure out what you want to play with. And yeah.
Yeah, but mom says this is a hobby that's kind of stuck longer than those other ones, so she was surprised. So the daughter eventually says, Jenna doesn't like me anymore. She won't let me ride her new horse, and she's moving away. So the daughter's very upset that she's losing her teacher, but she's also throwing kind of a fit about not being able to ride the horse. So mom's like, okay, what's wrong with the horse that you've been riding? Like, why do you need to get
I'm 11 and I want to ride the new horse, even if it's going to kill me. I mean, I know everything now because that's that tween bracket.
Yeah, even if this horse is, like, giant, I can totally see this kid being like, that is a shiny new horse and I need to be on it.
Yeah, it's like a shiny new quarter. It's like, you gotta have it. I mean, you want to try it. So, and Jenna being young, I could kind of see maybe this wasn't, you know, I could see the if you drag her out there to show her the horse, then obviously she's going to want to ride the horse.
Right.
I mean, she's a kid. I mean, like, but I mean,
yeah. Why else are we skipping lessons to go out and look at your shiny
pretty new horse?
Toy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like a new toy, and you're not letting 11 doesn't logic like that.
No.
Like, yeah.
Especially not on the same day that the teacher's like, oh, by the way, I'm moving. That's a really tough double
with
whammy.
A clingy kid who you know doesn't have a lot of outside friends who is going to attach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems like maybe it was a conversation we should have had with mom. Like, hey, I want to let you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be leaving, going
to
college.
That's a great point, because mom was there the whole time.
Right? You know, and not necessarily in front of the kid, but like maybe, you know, before the lesson, like, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm going to have to tell your daughter I am leaving. I've taken another job, going to college, moving across country, whatever. But I don't know if it, you know, upper teens, early 20s, I would have had the adult sense to have that conversation.
Absolutely
either.
Absolutely not.
You know, you would think like, oh, yeah, you know, hugs, bye, you know, I'll keep in touch, see you on Facebook, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, not realizing that, you know, you're dealing with a child who looks up to you and, and you know, looks at you as kind of like a sister, you know.
So she tells the mom, oh, this new horse is a horse for a real rider, and Jenna just doesn't think I'm ready, so I don't want to keep doing my lessons anymore. After we got home, Pitchfork said, I'm sorry, but we've paid for several more lessons, so you're going to need to continue what we've signed up for. And the daughter just wouldn't have any of it. She ran up to her room crying and won't talk to the mom.
Wah.
So mom wants to know if she's in the wrong in the situation for kind of making her daughter finish what she started.
No, not at all. I mean, like, you know, if you let her finish, you know, I mean, she should finish what she starts. Unless she's got like an acute fear that needs to be worked through, or it just kind of sounds like she's maybe having a little bit of a tantrum, and she's a teen. She's going to start having those. She's got an opinion, and you know, I mean, if she's not willing to do it, then I would probably have words with her that like, okay, well, this is the last thing that we're doing. Don't ask me for anything else.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to get, you know, start saving your money for whatever you want to try next. Tap dancing, soccer, field hockey, whatever. Because, you know, if you don't want to finish this, then that's it, because I've already paid for it. And the financial investment is there, and I think it would probably help her learn the value of the dollar and how that when you commit to something, you should, you know, see it through. I mean, you know, if she wants to, you know, if she's only got a handful of lessons left, just take the lessons. And it sounds to me like she's just hurt. Like, you know, like she's just really hurt that her friend's leaving and doesn't want to see her anymore because it's just going to be a reminder that she's not going to be around. And
I think so.
It probably could have been handled better on Jenna's part, but
it's another one where I kind of just feel bad for everyone.
Yeah, I don't say everyone sucks here because like they don't, but I feel like, you know, we've got three people that just everyone could have just handled things a little differently, or not everyone, but mom and trainer could have handled things. I think actually mom is spot on. I think mom is spot on by making her finish the lessons. And
there's a lot of stuff we have to finish as adults that's like not necessarily something we want to do.
And
so
honestly, maybe I would compromise with her. I mean, I know you've already spent the money at this location, but if she's just that uncomfortable there, then be like, fine, but you have to finish your lessons. You've got five more lessons. You need to take them at another farm. You know, that's a good idea. That way she's continuing to ride. She's not just giving up because of this emotional roller coaster she's currently on. And, you know, I know it might be a financial hardship, but she also is meeting, you know, seeing something through to the end, but not in a situation where she feels uncomfortable. So.
Yeah, and that could make all the difference. Like, maybe this kid would keep riding if she got to associate a better experience versus if this is her last time, you know? I don't know if I'm going to want to do that anymore. That sounds like a bummer.
It does. I mean, it just, you know, I mean, I lost my friend. I lost, you know, a confidant. It's good for kids to have that person. And I think, you know, losing that person probably has deeply upset her. And she probably needs to almost be forced to confront it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not at a lesson, but like maybe go to McDonald's or something with this girl and just sit down and be like, hey, look, I'm really upset. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I'm losing a family member, you know, because to her, it probably does feel that way. You know, I mean,
my compromise would almost be you don't have to finish the lessons, but just go back for one more.
Yeah.
Just to tie up whatever loose ends there you need to pet the horses again, because you're right. She's just, she doesn't know how to deal with the situation, so she's throwing a fit, and that's not a good way to leave
anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is a learning opportunity for mom, or a teaching opportunity for mom, to, you know, teach her coping skills. I mean, because coping skills are really important as you grow, and unfortunately this is something she needs to learn how to digest and deal with, and understand the emotions that she's feeling are valid, are 100% valid. She's hurt, she's upset, she feels betrayed, she feels abandoned. I'm just going through all of it, you know,
like, everything.
I mean, yeah, because I'm like, I just never grew up, so I get it, you know. But she needs to confront these emotions, I think, or not necessarily confront, I don't know if that's the best word, but embrace the emotions and find the other side of them.
You know what I mean? It feels like that feeling's going to go on forever.
Right. And there's a lot going on here.
There is. I think I feel bad for everyone in this
story. Because, you know, I feel like Jenna's losing a friend too. Because, like, you know, even though I feel like maybe that was a little sketchy taking money when she should have been teaching riding lessons instead of, like, getting this kid to clean stalls. You know, I think this kid just needs to talk it out. And maybe mom is probably, this is her oldest child, probably is struggling to figure out, how do I reach my kid?
That's,
you know,
a
she's upset, and how do I reach her and help her get to the other side of this? And especially when I feel like she's probably not telling her everything.
Seems like our first sort of big feelings moment.
Our first sort of like big semi-adulty kind of hit it right in the feels, and just all the feels, you know.
But,
you know, the shiny new penny with the horse, that's I think just childish, you know. She just needs to understand that, like, I think we all see the, you know, the little reels on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok where, you know, the 12-year-old comes up and it knows your horse better than you do because she's there more. Like, whatever. I mean, it just, you know, it's just that age bracket. But you know, I mean, you kind of like, you know, when you're in your teens, you just kind of know everything until you don't, you know, and then it's a huge learning experience. So, but anyway.
So mild judgment for Jenna, but I think everyone, I wish them all the best.
We need an update on that at some point. So maybe you guys can shoot us an update when you have one. So, because we'd kind of love to give our
updates for everything, because we mostly just feel bad for you guys.
Today they were just all like super emotional, except for the one with the barn manager. Like, you don't know her anything. But anyway, well, thanks for joining us. And if you want to submit your anonymous, you know, you are now being judged, then you can drop it in comments, send me a DM, shoot me an email, on all the social platforms, you know, whatever works. And until next time, this is You Are Now Being Judged.
We'll judge you later.
Judge you later.